Welcome to Out of Breath, where you'll embark on a no-holds-barred journey through the gritty realities of sleep apnea and sleep dentistry. Award-winning, board-certified otolaryngologist Dr. Madan Kandula and best-selling author Jason Tierney pull no punches as they dissect the industry's flaws and triumphs, providing you with an unvarnished look at the dynamic and ever-evolving world of better sleep.
You are literate?
Barely.
Are you literate? I guess that's a better way to ask it.
Yes, I am literate. Barely.
When did you,
I'm barely literate.
You read pretty, you are a pretty consistent reader. Is that fair?
Yes.
Yeah. And when did that start for you?
Since I was a kid.
Really?
Little kid.
Why? Because that's not, most kids, most boys in particular, reading is not cool, but, and you were cool. Right?
No.
Okay. Well, then maybe that goes in here. So uncool little Jason read books.
Yes.
So, right. And that was just sort of like what kind of books when you were a kid?
Oh, they ran the gamut from dinosaur books to, I really enjoyed reading encyclopedias.
Okay. Those are cool.
Yeah.
I like the little
illustrations.
I too love them in a little encyclopedia.
I also used to like to read about the lives of saints.
Okay.
Particularly the martyrs.
Okay. Well, that's a whole different episode.
Yeah.
I think, But you were an altar boy, right?
Yes. I'm no longer.
You are.
Now I'm an altar man.
An altered man. So reading is something you had an early appreciation for and attraction to, and that's just your whole life you've been reading.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That is extraordinarily unusual in this day and age, correct?
People read. People don't read books.
Okay. Do people read? I don't even know. What do they read? What do people?
They read a blog. They read an article online.
So they'll read like things that come in front of them.
Sure. I mean, they read their Facebook feed.
Yeah, I get you. That's true. But you read books.
Yes.
You read books or listen to books?
Both.
Which is better?
Reading a tactile book.
Why?
I enjoy it. I enjoy reading a tactile book. I like the way the book feels in my hands.
Okay.
I like to take notes in the margins, marginalia, highlight pages or sections. There's a slew of research that supports that people that read tactile books, they retain the information.
Sure.
More, longer, better.
Yep.
And they synthesize the information and are able to apply it more so than people that listen to audiobooks or even read the same book but in digital format.
Digital form. Gotcha. Yep.
So I'm a tactile book fan. What you're a Kindle dude, aren't you?
I'm in the, as you just described it, I'm in the loser category
I'm unsurprised.
Exactly. We're on opposite sides of this. As much as I love me a tactile book, I don't like to carry stuff around. It annoys me. So audiobooks is my preferred intake of content, followed by Kindle or my iPad. And there's something I think it is. I can go double speed, and I think the other thing is I can do it while I'm doing other things, which is probably that probably is why people who actually read tactile books are better than people like me, is that you have to be present with that book.
Yeah, you're emptying the dishwasher while listening.
You're not driving your car. I guess you could drive your Tesla around while you're thumbing through your book, but most people can't.
As long
drive.
As you touch the wheel every 10 seconds or
exactly.
Whatever it is,
let it know that it's there. But no, for me, audiobooks. That's my preference.
Yeah.
But would you say reading books? How important has that been to your life?
It's vital to my life. I mean, I committed lifelong learner.
Mm-hmm.
Book reading, I don't even know who to attribute the quotes to, but there's all these quotes about, readers are leaders are readers, all that jazz.
Yeah.
And in my experience, I've found that to be true.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I think for me, let me say this. For me, I didn't, like, I went through my medical training, I went to college, all, and there's a lot of reading that's sort of you have to do. Mm-hmm. So for most of my life, mm-hmm. it was like, there's content that I have to force to consume. So I got away from choosing to read. And I only started that back in probably not though, probably like 10 years ago or so, okay. Maybe even less than that.
Let me take a step back real quick to the audiobooks. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference for the type of narrator for an audiobook?
Somebody who's got good energy, clear articulation. I'm listening on double time, so British accents are a little challenging, but I'll try my best. Southern accents, problematic, but I don't think they usually narrate those books in a Southern accent.
No, they usually don't. But if I listen to the snippet of an audiobook and they have a British accent,
yep.
It's a non-starter.
Because it's just, you couldn't understand it because it's too, it's going to come over the top of you. No, it's too, you can't, can't follow.
It's...
Because you're Irish. It's the Irish in you.
I just want a Molotov cocktail all
exactly.
of a sudden.
Yes. Yeah.
No, but it's a non-starter.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't appreciate a good British accent in a narration.
Not in a narration, no.
Okay.
Otherwise, sure.
I gotcha.
I appreciate it, but.
So you do you, but you said you do some audiobooks, yeah. though. It's not yeah. like you're like.
I always have. You know, with my Audible mm-hmm. subscription, I get like one book a month or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I always have one book going.
Gotcha.
And one audiobook going. And it has to be a certain type of book, though.
Okay.
So if it's fiction, there can't be too many characters.
Yeah, that does get challenging.
You know, who is Miss Smith and Miss Jones?
That's true.
I don't remember. The other is if it's nonfiction, it can't be anything that I have to think about too much.
Okay.
Because a lot of times when I'm listening to an audiobook, it's while I'm running.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so, you know, history or a biography or something like that, that's really just sort of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Those work the best for me. What about, you're into sort of these business self-help.
That's a genre. I'm all over the place. I mean, it'll be fiction, nonfiction, you know, you name it. I just sort of kind of weave my way through things.
Do you ever buy books as gifts?
For other people?
Yes. No, for your son.
I was gaining time to think. That's why I asked the nonsensical question. But no, I gift myself. No, no, not often.
No.
So I've done that rarely and very kind of with the intent of like, hey, dude, you need this thing. Mm-hmm. Like as an example, I've given more than a few people the book Traction, which is about EOS,
yeah.
because I can see their suffering. And I'm like, just please, like... I don't say it quite like that, but yeah, not too often.
Got it.
Yeah.
What's a book that you've read more than once?
I've read Traction more than once. There's a book, it's a controversial book, actually, The 48 Laws of Power. Have you ever read that?
Robert Greene, yeah.
Robert Greene. So what do you think about that book?
Gino Wickman and Robert Greene.
Do you find that book controversial or not? Or you know that book's controversial?
I mean, I know that it is.
Have you read the book? Or?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And it's controversial because it basically is just brutally honest about human beings and power dynamics and so forth and so on.
Have you read Machiavelli's The Prince?
Yeah. It's been a while, but yeah.
So I think that book covers that far more succinctly.
Probably so.
I think 40 Laws of Power is something like 600 pages.
Yeah.
And The Prince is... 150 pages.
You're between The Prince and you know The Art of War or the now I'm getting confused there. The Sun Tzu.
Yeah, that's The Art of War.
The Art of War.
Yeah,
like I feel like they're the ingredients are there. But
have you ever read the War of Art?
No, that's why I got it mixed up. And like you referenced that the other day. I haven't read that. I've heard people say that's a good book.
You should read that book.
Okay.
You know what? Actually, no.
Yeah.
So I buy books as gifts. Often for people.
Okay.
But I, you know, I don't just gift books. I'm like, oh, I really like this book, so you should read
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, I get you.
I give people books as gifts if I think that it's will serve them.
Sure.
And that's the War of Art is probably is the book that I gifted most often to people last year. So I buy a bulk buy of them, and I give them to everyone that I think could use it. I don't think that you need that book. It's really for people that are facing, you know, resistance and in their lives and a reluctance to take action, whereas I think you have a proclivity for
oh, is that what it is? Okay, yet. I wasn't quite sure. Anyway, I've heard of it. I just haven't delved into it. So you, for me personally, I'm so whatever action oriented that the book would be like not.
You'd go, no shit. I can write my own. I can write three times better.
And I'd be mad at you. I'd be like, God damn, Jason. Yeah. Once again, you're disappointing me. Yeah. What are you currently reading?
You know what? I'm reading, I don't remember what it's called. It's some book related to Buddhism written by some guy in the 50s.
Okay.
So I have... This, I think you're familiar with Ryan Holiday.
Yeah, sure.
So he wrote once about, and I think it's like in the footer of his newsletters or something like that, that, you know, if he sees a book he's interested in, he always buys it.
Yeah.
That's something he affords himself. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to start doing that. This is, you know, several years ago. And so anytime I go into a bookstore, or I read an article or a book review that where, you know, a book sounds of interest, I just, you know, if I'm at a bookstore, I just pick it up or I order it online. And so when I go into a bookstore, I'll go without, you know, a list or anything. I just walk in and wander into the shelves.
Really?
And yeah, so what I tend to do is I get just everything that sounds interesting. I just grab it and I put them all on a stack. And then I go to, you know, like a common reading table that a lot of bookstores have.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit them down and I go, do I really want this book? Do I really want that book? Yeah. So because I have like 15 books.
Sure.
And I try to narrow it down to 4 or 5. Because I look at those other ones, I go, I'm never going to read that.
Mm-hmm.
But I never leave with less, or I seldom leave with less than 5 books. Anyway, then I put all of these books. I have a shelf at my house. It's my to read shelf.
Okay.
And I throw them there. And then whenever I go on a trip, usually it's when I go on a trip, I look to see what's on the to read shelf.
And whatever's fancy or striking at your that fancy. Moment,
yeah. And but then frequently what happens is I read that book and it sparks an interest, a deeper interest in learning more about that topic.
Mm-hmm.
So then I go and I get 5 more books on that subject
and
add those to the to read shelf. So the to read shelf has now, it's like a gremlin that was fed after midnight.
Sure.
And now it's multiplied. Now I've got 2 to read shelves.
Oh, I would, that your system would destroy me.
Yeah?
Yeah. That I it would destroy me.
Well, what is your system?
What is my system? My system is sort of, I use... because I'm mostly an audiobook guy, so I use Libby, which is part of my library. And so I'm always on a wait list for 10 books at all times. And so as they come up, that's an easy cue to me to say. So, there, you know, it's 10 random things. I also have Audible, so it depends on kind of, if I've got nothing over there, I'll go over to Audible and I'll you know, use one of my credits. But oftentimes, the thing I actually probably listen to most are podcasts. It's like the bridge between those two things. I'm always listening to a book. I'm always listening. There's a playlist of podcasts that I'm constantly listening to. So that's kind of my thing. And so I actually, as far as a physical book or a book that I'm even reading, like an ebook, that's, I don't know, more of a rarity. I do have, there's a shelf on my Kindle. It's not your shelf, but a shelf on my Kindle of books that I've sort of deemed in my ideal world, I'd read a page or a part of these books every day. Kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I don't even remember what's on that list at this point, but there are certain books, I guess many, so if you're reading a lot of things, that's great. But I think, you know, and I mean, I've heard people say this, but it's really finding the things that, I don't know how you say it. There are certain books that have, that have true power, and you should just be going back to.
Don't read 100 books. Read 10 books 10 times.
10 times, exactly. Yeah. I wish I could say that just as well as you did, but yeah, exactly that. And so that's. But I haven't yet trained myself to get into that mode. But I find it. I find the randomness of that is sort of healthy for me, because I'm otherwise so sort of calculated. I'm kind of cold calculated, and it's like, it's going to be this, this, and this. So the reason your gremlin shelf would drive me crazy is I would feel the weight and the pressure of all of those books. And like, it would bother me. It would just bother me.
You have to take a sabbatical.
I'd probably have to just buy a new house and flee. But yeah. Then that old house with the, it would just stay in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah.
If you could only have one book,
mm-hmm.
what would it be?
Wow. Only one book. I don't have a good answer. I will say a book that I've read multiple times. I think this is the one, Awareness. You ever read that book?
I'm not hip to it.
No. It's sort of it's a bit zen. It's probably surprising for anybody, maybe for me to say it's really about kind of mindfulness. But it's a really, can't remember the author's name, but every time I've read it probably, I don't know, three or four times, mm-hmm. but every time I read it, it's, I'm a new person. It's coming to this content, and it's just sort of a good, it's a good way to ground your mind, mindset. Okay. So I think that's mine. What about you? One book, Desert Island.
That would probably be Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott.
I've heard of that. I have not read that one.
That probably 2 years ago supplanted the autobiography of Malcolm X as my favorite book, my go-to.
Those are completely different books. My understanding, Bird by Bird is talking about the writing process. Is that right?
Or largely, yeah.
It's like a, you know, you just... it's the same Bird by Bird. It's basically, no, you just go a bird by bird, right?
Yes. This is a huge problem. How are we going to eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time.
One bite at a time. I get you.
Bird by bird.
I'm more interested in Malcolm X than I am Bird by Bird, but why Bird by Bird?
I was writing a book when I read Bird by Bird, yep. And there are just so many truths. And mm-hmm. It was as if though she was writing to me.
To you, exactly.
Yeah. In with the message, the tone, the tenor, everything. It's just a beautifully written book.
Okay.
It's humorous, it's poetic, it's got levity and gravity, and it helped me a ton.
Do you, in 5 years, assuming you're not in the middle of writing a book, do you think it'll still hit you in the same way? Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I try to be aware. Mm-hmm. of the recency effect mm-hmm. with not just with books, but with anything.
Life.
And there are oftentimes I read great books, and I'm careful to say, you know, this is the best book I've read in the last, or the best new book I've read in the last 5 years, something like that. Bird by Bird is best book I've read in a long time.
Nice. Yeah. All right. I will have to. Well, is that, would you, do you think I would find that interesting or no? Oh, man.
When you ask someone, you know, or if it comes up when you're talking with someone, a colleague, an employee, mm-hmm. a friend, do you have friends? You don't have any friends.
I hope someday to have a friend.
Yeah. I'm here for you, buddy. But when you ask them if they read, or you find out that they don't read books, mm-hmm. how do you feel about that? Does anything change?
I think I feel a little bit of sadness.
Mm. You feel kind of judgy.
I'm super judgy. So yeah, I can't not. I don't know what it would feel like. I mean, you're pretty judgy too. True. I'm more judgy than you are, but you definitely would be like getting the blue or the whatever. If I'm getting the gold medal for judginess, you'd be silver, bronze. No, you're silver. That's true. correct?
Keep going.
So anyway,
we're
going
to share the podium.
We're both winners. No, it just sadness because I feel like, you know, for me, why sad? Because I don't care who you are or what you're doing. If you're not reading, you're not growing. Mm-hmm. And if you're not growing, then you're wasting your time here on this earth is how I view
it. It's sad.
It's sad. That's what I said. It's sad. It's not so much, it isn't judgy. It isn't judgy for judgment's sake. It's more just sadness because it is, it's a blessing. I don't know how you say that. Mm-hmm. I mean, our time here is short mm-hmm. and, you know, to not take it all in. I guess to me, I view reading as like, you're absorbing, somebody else's life, somebody else's take on life. And, like that's such a,
it's a gift.
It's a gift.
It's a gift. And, you know, even when I see people reading, you know, all the jokes about being judgmental and everything, when I see people reading romance novels, mm-hmm. mystery thrillers, whatever, I don't read that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see people reading, I think, good for you.
Sure.
You know, you're not glued to your phone watching TikTok or something like that. You're actually processing what you're reading. Mm-hmm. You've invested some time and some focus and some energy in this. I appreciate that.
Sure.
One of the things that I find a little unsettling in my professional life is when people really don't read much.
Mm-hmm.
And I give them a book and explain why I think they should read that book. And then they do.
Mm.
And for a period of time, they're just alight with excitement about reading.
Sure.
You know, all these new ideas and these concepts and da, 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 da. And it's like, and then they stop.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but there's more out there.
Sure.
And, you know, and you look, I mean, everything that you know, most of what you know, almost everything you know came from a book in some form or fashion.
Sure.
You then took it, applied your life experience, synthesized the information, whatever,
right.
processed it, applied it. But all of that information is available. Everything that you know is readily available
to everybody.
To everybody.
Correct.
You know, there's this information symmetry that exists now,
mm-hmm.
and it just bums me out because it's available and people don't seize it. And then they don't realize their potential.
Mm-hmm.
And they point the finger at times, not everyone, but some people then point the finger and go like, well, I wish I could do what you're doing. It's like, but you can, you opt not to. And that's cool.
Yeah.
If you want to watch TikTok all day rather than read a book, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's same thing like with running. Oh, I wish I could run like you run, Jason. Well, you can. I mean, most people, like unless you've got some sort of physical
right.
issue that precludes you from doing so, you can. You just choose to watch YouTube videos all day. And that's cool.
Yep.
But don't complain to me or make me feel guilty because I opt to use my times in ways that frankly are better suited to the life that I want to live and better in greater service to those in my sphere.
Right. And you, I know you're not a big sports fan. I understand that. You know who Jerry Rice is?
Yes. He was a wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers.
Wow, look at that. That's impressive. You know, there's a saying that he said, it is either my favorite quote or close to it. If it's not my favorite, it's right there, which is, I always have to think about this. Today I will do what others won't. So tomorrow I can do what others can't. It's exactly what you just said. I mean, that's where, whether it's reading, whether it's exercise, whether it's the, you know, it's the, you know, there's, it's not necessarily even hard. I mean, I think it is a bit hard. I mean, exercise, if done properly, is hard. It's uncomfortable. Reading is a bit uncomfortable because, especially in this day and age, there's so many other things to do that are much more, easier to swallow than reading. But it is that, to me, you know, sort of whether there is a specific benefit or not, the repetitive infliction of hard things is good by it, even if it doesn't lead to anything. But I will definitively say there isn't anybody who's done anything worth doing who doesn't fit that concept. whether it's reading or whether it's other thing, it's that it's just that one step at a time, and one piece of information at a time will build and build and build. And then, yeah, to your critic that you're kind of calling out, and to the people who aren't willing to do that, it's kind of annoying, basically. You know, they're kind of annoyed at that at seeing the end result. And then maybe they're annoyed at themselves. They're like,
well, that's what it is.
I could never do that.
They don't have a beef with me. They have a beef with themselves, right?
Probably. And
that's what it is. You know that you're not striving toward your potential, mm-hmm. and that causes internal friction. You know, there's some, that causes internal distress.
Yeah.
Some cognitive dissonance there. And that leads to regret, and it leads people to talk smack.
But we're not going to talk smack.
We've been doing that.
We've been doing
that. That's what we do.
That's good.
So smack me up here and let's get out of here.
All right, let's go. Boom.